A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
Main forte à la campagne de vaccination contre la COVID-19. Nous recherchons des personnes pour administrer les vaccins, des préposés à l'entretien, des agents administratifs, des préposés à l'accueil et des agents de sécurité. Vous êtes étudiant, retraité, vaccinateur? Faites la différence et contribuez à améliorer la santé de la population en participant à cette opération d'envergure. Informez-vous et manifestez votre intérêt dès maintenant sur jecontribuecovid19.gouv.qc.ca. Un message du gouvernement du Québec.
To make an appointment for your booster dose against COVID-19. Visit quebec.ca/covidvaccine to follow the vaccination sequence plan for your area and book your appointment online. To continue protecting yourself against COVID-19 and its variants, get a booster dose and keep following distancing measures, wearing a mask, and washing your hands. The booster dose, the best way to stay protected longer. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
This program is uncut. It contains strong language in some adult situations. Discretion is advised.
All the Way Live Radio, CKUT 90.3 FM, every single Wednesday from 3 to 5. This is Pro V. Thank you very much for tuning in. So, if you tune into last week's show, what you heard was DJ Premier. A whole lot of DJ Premier. So basically, he's been doing a show on YouTube called So What's Up, and I took a whole bunch of those shows, cut them up, and then added the track that he was describing. Because in each episode, he tells a story of the track that he did, the collaboration that he did with whoever, you know, whichever rapper or artist it was. And so we did about, you know, the first 10, you know, around 10 episodes last week. Or 11 episodes last week, and we're going to do the same thing this week. So you're going to hear a description of the collabos he did with Limp Bizkit and Method Man, Group Home, Royce the 5'9", D&D All-Stars, Mobb Deep, Gangstar, obviously, Devin the Dude, M.O.P., Brownsville, Casey and JoJo for the Gangstar Royalty track. So enjoy the show, All the Way Live Radio, CKUT.ca 90.3 FM. Peace.
I'm DJ Premier, and I present to you So What's Up.
Okay, computer. Run it back.
So What's Up.
All right. Another episode, time to get busy. This was a little bit to the left, but everything's real when we do it or how we do it. So let's get to it. This one right here is very special. They're all special because I was a part of it, and that's the most important thing, is recapping the history of my career. For those that may be a little late to the party, we are celebrating all of the songs of my career that I produce using a floppy disk to save the material that creates the songs that I program on drum machines and other equipment in order to make these classic records. But that said, it's about time to take you to 1999 with this. Limp Bizkit featuring Method Man in Together Now. Now, this one's really special for several reasons. At the time, this is 1999, my former manager, Patrick Moxie, who had Payday Records and he managed Gangstar for our entire career, all the way up to our last album that we recorded together, The Owners, which came out in 2002. Right after that, Patrick moved on into the dance music world, which is Ultra Records. And of course, Ultra Records is one of the biggest dance labels in the world. And he's still continuing to do his thing. And he relaunched Payday, which I helped launch with him by dropping 4 singles. And, you know, Payday's still up and running. Classic stuff on there. Everybody knows the history. Mentioning all that leads to how this happened. Okay? Patrick gave me a call one day and said, hey, Limp Bizkit wants you to do a song with them where you pretty much are updating a version that already existed. And I'm like, well, isn't that the guy that we did the George Michael record Faith, but he did a rock version? He was like, yeah, that's them. I like the video. That was from their previous album in 1997 called $3 Bill, y'all. And that song Faith was on there. That's how I got familiar with them prior to their new album they were working on called Significant Other, which is what this song appeared on. Now, when he told me he wanted to do the song and have me remix it, I was like, well, let me hear it. Mind you, this is before emails and sending MP3s. They had to mail me the song on a cassette and a CD that they burned, and I had to listen to it. First, let me shout out the members of Limp Bizkit: Fred Durst, Sam, Otto, Wes Borland, and of course, DJ Lethal. Now, DJ Lethal comes from another classic group first, House of Pain, which was The Great Everlast, also Lethal on the Wheels, and Danny Boy. And of course, that was a DJ Muggs production, which shout to Muggs, who comes from Cypress Hill, and 783 out of Brooklyn, which Muggs is a Brooklyn native as well. So with that trickling all the way up to that point, I was already familiar with everybody except for the band personally, but I've been knowing Lethal for years. So being that we've been homies, it already made it simple for me to even want to work with him. But I had a limit of my decision making because to me, Fred was dope with what they did. But when it came to the emceeing aspect of what I was used to, I was very, very hesitant to do it. I was like, yo, man, I'm just not feeling the way he raps. But when I told them I declined, 2 things happened. First of all, Patrick says, yo, Method Man's on it. I'm like, word? Oh, I'm in. Just like that. Second thing, he said, Fred wants to know, even if you're not with it still, he wants to know if he can meet up with you in person. All right. At that time, I worked at D&D Studios, which a lot of our stuff was done. Shout out to Eddie Sancho, who was my engineer for all of this work. Shout out to Norty Cotto, too, who was also an additional engineer. And Dexter Thibault and also Louis Taneo, who are our assistant engineers. But moving forward, I said, okay, Fred can come see me. He came and sat down with me and said, look, man, if you want to re-record it with me, doing it to you the way you want to coach it, I'm down. However you want to do it, just so we can make it right. I was like, all right, let me record you and let's see if we can get a better take than what I got when I heard the demo version. Now, the demo version was done by Lethal. And if you listen to the demo version, which you're about to hear, because I have both versions, it's pretty much the same thing. When I hear things, I can already tell where I fit in. And the first thing I said was, man, all it really needs is more of my preem bounce with my drums. Let me put my bass line on it. And let me just take the sample that you already looped and put it, hook it up my way. And then next thing you know, we got the beat the way it should be structured before I record Fred Durst's vocals. Now, this is what really convinced me all the way, besides with Method Man being a part of it, or like we say, Meth. He said, yo, man, I have all your Tape Kings mixtapes. If you know about Tape Kings from back in the 90s, you know they were the fucking super official when it came to mixtapes coming out during our era. And I did a 4-part mix for Tape Kings. It was called Crooklyn Cuts. And the fact that he had all of that, and he also had my New York Reality Check album through Hayes, the shout to Hayes, the writer. The New York Reality Check was actually, by coincidence, talking about this, was on Payday Records. And there was a song on there called Head Over Wheels by G. Depp. Shout to Deputy, man. Hold your head. I know you're behind bars, but, you know, we still ride with you, my dude. He said, yo, Head Over Wheels used to be my jam. And I'm like, you know about G. Depp? I was like, yo, let's do this. And that convinced me to say that we're doing this record. This is another thing that I like about Fred. Fred said, I have all these different things like, yeah, come on, Limp Bizkit, and bring it on, and stuff like that, that he made a 10-inch acetate. It's called a dub plate. It's a record that you cut on a machine called a cutting lathe. That's how records are made when you manufacture to make multiple copies of records. But with this machine, you can make a quick dub plate and cut it into the vinyl, and you only get two or three or four plays, and then it starts to eat it out. So when you start playing it later on, it just has a whole bunch of... because it's only really made for one or two, three plays. Shout out to all the people in Jamaica who've been doing dub plates for years. That's really where the specialty of it came from. But he made a 10-inch, which is easier to wind because it's hard to wind these records back. With him, he did all these, yeah, bring it on, Limp Bizkit, and gave me a 10-inch dub plate that he brought with him, which is some hip-hop shit. And when he did that, I was impressed because he understood the science of what's gonna make it all go together. So all the scratches you hear on the song is me scratching his voice from the 10-inch record of the dub plate. That's hip hop. We did the record, and like I said, here's the beat before I did it. Now you heard that version. Now plugging this into the Akai S950 sampler, linked into the MPC-60, both Akai products. Here's my version.
DJ, who could be the boss? Look up to the cross, stranded in the land of the lost. Standing up, I'm sideways. I'm blazing up the path, running on the highways of rap.
Now, the dope thing about all of this is it led to other big things from this album. The album went 7 times platinum, and it sold over 16 million records worldwide. But at the time when I got my plaque, which is right here on the wall, as you see, it was 6 times platinum at the time, which is a lot of sales, and I'm appreciative of being a part of this. But to add on to it, me and Fred Durst built a relationship to the degree of where he said, yo, man, I'm doing a pajama party at the Playboy Mansion for Hugh Hefner, and I want you to DJ. I said, what do you want me to do? He said, keep it raw hip hop. I got to DJ at the Playboy Mansion. Rest in peace to Headquarters who came with me. And he got kicked out 3 times, and we still were able to go. Security let him back in. He's a good dude. And they were like, all right, let him back in. Got kicked out again, let him back in. Got kicked out again, let him back in. But it was one of the dopest parties. I remember when everybody started walking in, all the Playboy bunnies, I was playing Ghostface's record 1. And they just started walking in, bopping into the beat. And I just remember it just going, what? And everybody's piling in, all in their bikinis and whatnot. Rest in peace to DJ AM, who DJed after me. We are longtime friends. Everybody was up in there. It was dope. Oh, and actually, I have a picture of me spinning, and Headquarters is standing next to me right when I got him back in. And it was on March 9th, the very first anniversary of Biggie's passing. And Puffy made some Bad Boy shirts that said, remember Big. And I have that shirt on because it was March 9th of that first year, and of course the party was the same date. That also led to MTV had their 20th anniversary of them existing on cable television.
Music television, 20 years and still rocking.
Fred Durst calls me up and says, I want you and Lethal to DJ side by side, and me and Method Man are gonna do And Together Now. I also got to be in the music video, which at the end, you see me right there in the front. Shout out to Big Black of the Gangstar Foundation. You see him with the Gangstar shirt on. And we're sitting there rocking out with them. We just had a good, 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 good time. And that also led to me working on the remix album with them, which we'll talk about in another episode. A lot of history on that too. So we'll save that. But all of this combined, it was just such a great experience, especially the Playboy Mansion. This is the funny part. And I'll never forget, because Nookie was the first single before In Together Now. And I remember Hugh Hefner had the mic and he said, before I go in to start the music, I just want to say thank God for Nookie. DJ, take it away. And this is the reason you got to salute the floppy disk.
Shut the fuck up.
Who could be the boss? Look up to the cross, stranded in the
mics. I keep the media dykes. It's reinforcement for the fight. And that alone will keep John Gotti on the phone. I'm tangled in the zone, I got the bees on the track. Where the fuck you at?
The cow.
Let me hear your pigeons run your mouth now.
Shut the fuck up.
I'm plugging in them social skills to keep my total bills over a million. The last time I checked it, thank God I'm blessed with the mind that'll wreck it. Wait until the second round and knock him out.
They call me Big John Studd, my middle name Mud. Dirty water flow, too much for you thug. They can't stand the flood. What up, Doc? Whole big gun like Elmer Fudd, the show shot. Mr. Meth, I'm unplugged. Learn, temperature's too hot for sunblock. Burn, playing with mind to get you state time. Locked behind 12 bars from a great mind. Killer bees in the club with his ladybug. Brought his sword to the dance floor to cut a rug. Love is love all day till they throw slugs. And take another life in cold blood. Can't feel me till it's your blood. Murder race tremendous, crime is endless. Same shit, different day. Father forgive us. They know not what they do. All praises due. I'm big like EZ and Big Bamboo.
What's that? I didn't hear you.
Shut the fuck up.
Come on a little louder.
Shut the fuck up.
Everybody in the cabin now.
Shut the fuck up. Just shut the fuck up. Just shut the fuck up.
What's that? I didn't hear you.
Shut the fuck up.
Come on a little louder.
Shut the fuck up.
Everybody in the cabin now.
Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Strong, dead calm, dead right on. Dead weight, they dead wrong. Let's get it on. 12 rounds of throwdown. Who hold crown? Protect land with 4 pounds. Limp biscuit. Get around like merry-go. Bust the scenario. Coming through your stereo. Why risk it? Lifestyles of the prolific and gifted. Eight essential vitamins and minerals. Delicious. Word on the street is they bit my thesis. Knocked out their front teeth. Trying to taste mine. Acting like they heard through the grapevine. Dope feeling for the baseline. 2 for 5 round. Pharmaceuticals. Hardest nails to the cuticle. Where'd you find that monster? She beautiful. Wu-Tang and Limp Bizkit. Roll on the set. Kick a hole in the speaker. Pull a plug and then jack.
Mic check. So what's it all about? And where we gonna run? Maybe we can meet up on the sun. Discretion is advised for the blood of virgin eyes. We're limping on the track with the method. So get the sun block. You're getting one shot. Until you dissolve, I revolve around everything you got. From out of nowhere, prepare. You'll be blinded by the glare. I told you not to stare. Now you're turned into stone. Without a microphone. But don't you forget you're in a zone.
Shut the fuck up.
And take that shit back, cause all your shit's whack. When it's weighed out like that, burning up your brain like a piston. So all those who didn't listen never even knew what they were missing. And never even knew that the sky was falling down. Wu-Tang Clan for the crown.
What's that? I didn't hear you.
Shut the fuck up.
Come on a little louder.
Shut the fuck up.
Everybody in the cabin now.
Shut the fuck up.
What?
Shut the fuck up. Just shut the fuck up.
What's that? I didn't hear you.
Shut the fuck up.
Come on a little louder.
Shut the fuck up.
Everybody in the
day every day, S-I-N-Y, 103.04, Wu-Tang, Killer Bees, and the Limp, B-I-Z-K-I-T's, y'all know the time, y'all know the rhyme, it ain't easy being greasy, in a world full of cleanliness and, you know, all that other madness, we gone, peace.
I'm DJ Premier, and I present to you,
So What's Up.
Okay, computer, run it back.
So What's Up.
All right. 1994 is where it started. No. 1992 is when it started. But album-wise, 1994, it started. And then, 1995, it happened. The album. You know what I'm talking about? No, you don't? Oh, yeah, you do. Whether you do or don't, I'm about to tell you. Gangsta Foundation's own Group Home. All right, shout to Lil Depp. Shout to Malachi the Nutcracker. Shout to Guru, rest in peace. And shout to Big Shug, also the co-founder of Gangstar from the beginning. And shout to J. Ru the Damager. This is the original Gangstar Foundation because of Guru. Guru said, I want to sign 3 groups and you sign 3 groups. I said, all right. He said, let's sign our crew. Let's sign Lil Depp and Malachi's Group Home. Let's sign Shug, since he's a co-founder of the group. And let's sign J. Ru the Damager. J. Ru the Damager came first because I felt like out of everybody as a producer and just knowing what feels right, and also as a DJ, J. Ru was ready.
So we started with him. We had the successful Sunrise in the East album, which is still to this day does its numbers, and still to this day is one of the greatest albums of my career and his, and just in hip-hop itself. So proud of that album. When it came to Group Home, it was a different approach for two reasons. Before I tell you the song that we're going to talk about on the floppy disc, I want to explain to you. The album kind of came together in a weird way. For Malachi the Nutcracker, he's from the Boogie Down Bronx, 183rd in the Bronx. I used to live there. Me and Guru used to live there for a brief moment. Shout out to everybody, Panchi, Smiley the Ghetto Child, everybody from the Third. If you live there, you call it the Third. If you didn't live there and you don't call it the Third, and you say you have been around 183rd, you weren't around there. We were really there through everything, top to bottom. The reason why I got to lead up to this story is because at the time before we did this record, Malachi the Nutcracker was facing a long bid because he got caught in two different scenarios that were going to put him in jail for quite a while. He was 16 at the time, so he was underage. But I had to make a deal with the judge. Shout to Judge Bamberger. Thank you so much. A lot of people that knew the history of Malachi the Nutcracker, Malachi wanted to be a boxer. You see his physique and how he's built, and he's always with his shirt off, walking around, mobbing and all like this. He's really that way. But the thing is, he dreamed of being a boxer. We were going through issues where I was going to court for 2 years, working and working on the judge, even with a lawyer, still talking to the judge directly saying, "Judge, why don't you just let him box, being that I got him in boxing school, and let him do that?" She said, "No, because he's a violent offender. Twice, got caught within the same amount of months, and boxing is a violent sport." I'm like, "Yeah, but if you can get paid for it, what's the problem?" She said, "Doesn't matter." She said, "But I know one thing you can remember, remand. If you don't know about jail, remand means put him back in jail instead of letting him out on the street on bail."
She said, "You're in the music business, have him make an album." I was like, "Yeah, but he doesn't really want to do that." She says, "Album or else remand." She says it again. Mel's like, "I don't want to do this album. I don't want to do an album." I'm like, "Dude, we're doing this." Now, he was already down with the Group Home. That was a name that Dap came up with.
Just from us all being in the same circle when we used to live at Branford Marcellus's house in Brooklyn, when we moved back from the Third back to Brooklyn, that's how the Group Home name started. You know, and again, shout out to Lil Dap for that. Me and Dap used to play around with this drum set that Branford had left when he moved to California to become the music director for The Tonight Show with Jay Leno after Johnny Carson stepped down. So I used to always play it because I play drums, I play bass. Shout out to Travis Scott's dad, Jack Webster, who taught me how to play drums. Because we were neighbors when I grew up as a kid. And his mom, not Travis's, but his father's mom, was my English teacher. Shout out to Ms. Webster.
Moving forward, I'd always play it, and Dap would be like, "Yo, let me get on there. Show me how to do that and rock it." Dap kind of caught on to where he could keep a rhythm. One day, we're just all bugging out, drinking our 40s. This is the 40s era. This is 1992, to be exact. So this is obviously before I'm the Man was done.
With J-Roo and Dap on the Daily Operation album in 92,
I'm playing the drums one day. Everybody's freestyling. Dap breaks into a rhyme. And we're like, "Oh, Dap is rhyming. Oh, shit." Just having fun. Next thing you know, Guru does a demo for his Ill Kid sampler, which had a song called So-Called Friends. When I heard how him and Malachi rapped, I was like, "Yo, this could really work." So when you fast forward to where we are in 1994, first of all, we dropped a record previously, a single called Superstar, which did really, really, really well.
That was the first single. So proud of that record. The video, everything. Shout out to Fat Gary. We were on another Gangstar tour, and he was like, "Yo, I'll make sure everything goes right. Just send a director over, and we'll get the video shot." And Gary made sure it happened. Salute to him, Gangstar Foundation family. With that said, Patrick Moxie, our former Gangstar manager for our whole career, said, "I'll sign on the payday if you produce the album." Guru produced one track, I produced the rest. Shout out to Jazz O, who also produced the track, and I did the bulk of the album.
We had to come up with a name for the album.
Dap said, "Let's call it Living Proof, because that's how we living." Like he said, we from the low-budget environment, you know what I'm saying? So he always said it's all about the low-budget environment. Because he called it that, I said our next single should be called Living Proof. Most records that we do always have a song to the title of the album. After Superstar, which to me is one of the most creative records that I've done for anything in hip-hop, and especially for Group Home to set off their career like Come Clean did for J-Roo, you always got to come up with that second banger that follows up. For J-Roo, it was The Original. For Group Home, it was this. Now, with this, I said it has to rumble because we come from the car stereo boombox era, not headphones, and Walkmans were popping, but most of the people in our era, we had cars, Jeeps, SUVs, and all of that, and we had booming systems and rims way before it got to the level that it's on now. I had to make sure this thing rumbled. I found a stab of these two notes that just said, beep. I don't know what it was. When you hear the beep, you hear this thing going boom, 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 boom. And I was like, yo, if I beef that up in the bottom of it, when those notes hit, that's it right there. And then I started using these space sounds at that time to kind of bring the weirdness together to tie into my samples. Man, when I beefed up that bottom that I was hearing, now again, this is all your ear, what you catch. Okay, a lot of DJs have the same ear. Not if you don't do what I do, a producer, be a DJ. But DJs, we have an ear. We remember a lot of rhymes because we cut and battle. But we also just hear things that some people may not catch. When I heard that rumble and beeped it up on a separate track and timed it out with that beater, next thing you heard was just the boom beater. Insert this into the S950 Akai sampler, triggered by the MPC-60. When you put it in, this is what you hear. Do you feel that? You hear that? Well, again, you gotta be in a car or have a big radio. You ain't got either one of those. You might miss some of that boom. But the era that we come from, as I said, is from those particular sources of how we listen to our music. And with that said, the career of the Group Home began to take off. I remember Recipes for Prodigy of Mobb Deep. They said, yo, we're going to have a shorties tour. It's because they were all, you know, this height. And they said, we're going to all go on tour together. Mobb Deep, Group Home, Onyx. And from there, you know, the career of Group Home was put into a pedestal where their album is noted as one of the most classic albums in the history of hip hop and my career and their career and the Gangsta Foundation. And again, I got to thank Guru for even pushing me to do this. Matter of fact, can I get that album right there? I see, I can see it on the shelf. Note to the left, to the left. Nilla, a couple more, yep, right there. Pull one of those out. Classic, man. Classic. There it is. Living proof. Can't deny this. All right? Salute to Dav, salute to Mel, rest in peace to Guru, shout out to the whole Gangsta Foundation. And again, salute to this floppy disk right here. All right?
Life story, strictly business, never blew my chance. Mom kicked me out the house when I was flipping. I'm the man, put the boys on the street, make them walk this beat, teach them how to eat and to seek for peace. Son, I stamp this name living proof cause I mean what I say. Bring the fake to reality and make them pay. Yo, these ghetto rhyme stories got them scared to death. I'm trying to get the fuck out, see what the world's about. Check it, 1986 is when I reached my peak. Take my brothers out of state and try to make some ends meet. First destination Texas and it's just like that. Making moves with my brothers and there's no turning back. We got 36 grams on the scale right now. Getting ready with my brothers, time to break this shit down. I'm not about killing my people, but you know how it go. Work with me, not against me, and we'll make mad dough. With my co-defender that when I break down with rap. Hold me back and give me love and now I'm giving it back. A unique sound from the street and it's just so sweet. My living proof life story, let me break it in peace.
Yo, I rock on the block with the real hip hop. As you start to clock and jock. Yo, I'm coming off with mad rage. 18 and hitting the real stage. But don't worry about me cause I'm making it. And if I can't have it, then I'm taking it. That's how it is cause I'm living trife. Where's my knife? Take a chance with your life. Rappers decapitate and disintegrate. You I will mutilate when I penetrate. Go for the one when I say raid. A hitman for hire and I wanna get paid. Cause bullets are sprayed and anybody is laid. More money is made and that's the family trade. See I make moves and tell what's the truth. That's why I'm here to be living proof.
Leave it up to me while I be living proof. Life as a shorty shouldn't be so rough. Leave it up to me while I be
I'm going off on the mic, insane, out of sight. When I take flight,
like
Mike. And you see, I be rolling like a battle cat. And I'm ready to rip on my combat. Beef, I'm not having that, yo, I put my trigger back. And all you pussy niggas know where my heart is at. I like to stay down low, but yo, I flip at times. Like when I'm kicking rhymes or busting out nines. It's like that shit, I jumped off the roof. Psych, cause I wouldn't be living proof.
Going on, and I see some C2000 if these niggas keep fronting. I used to hustle on the block, now I rap for pace. Watch out, the world turn, and I will come back. Believing stress off my brain, I got the lala for that. Breaking down all subjects and then all facts. Letting loose everything, but still keeping the fat. Busted niggas keep on fronting in this game, aight. Scared to death fast, rappers don't get no props. Scared to come through the ghetto, talk about busting shots. See, I can walk around the ghetto, stand in peace and at ease. Get my ghetto crowd open, yo, you know what I mean. Indeed, see what I see and then you know what I mean. Getting ready for the future, so don't fuck with me. My living proof, life story, niggas, I kill it with ease.
And I present to you, So What's Up.
Okay, computer, run it back.
So What's Up.
All right. This has been another big request, but I had to find the disc. We've been going through a big hunt of all the discs because they're all over the place, but we found a big box over here that you cannot see that has a lot of discs, and one of them that we found is this. Boom! Yes, indeed. For those that may be late to this thing that we are doing called So What's Up, it's a salute to the floppy disc. The sounds that you have heard me do pretty much my entire career has been contained on these floppy diskettes. The sounds are then transferred from a sampling machine, preferably the Akai S950 during my era, into an MPC 60, also made by Akai. And when you load them up and put them all together, I tap out the sounds that I heard that I felt like I could flip into a banger. The story on this is very unique because, let me put it down, let me see if I can do it without it. I'm so used to having the disc in my hand. Now I'm gonna start clapping. See what happened was, now, so this song originally was for a Capone and Noriega session. CNN, for all those that know him in the street. We were waiting for them to get there to do a song with me, and Royce and I were gonna work on a song as well. But Royce got there before CNN. That particular track happened to be playing in the background, and Royce was like, "What is that?" I said, "I'm working on CNN. He's like, "Well, where are they?" And they're in another room. I'm like, "No, they're not here yet." Royce convinced me to have him use this track and make another one for CNN. And when I thought about it, I was like, well, one way or another, they're both gonna get bangers, because that's how I do. I make everything tailored to the artist. I say, you know what? All right. You can mess with this one, because he said he was ready to write and bring it out. Now, this record was when Royce was in a transition. He was on Tommy Boy Records at the time when we worked together. We did a record called My Friend. When we worked on that, he was in transition to go to Sony. Let me back up a little bit. The first time I ever heard of Royce was with Eminem on a record called Scary Movies. They were called Bad Meets Evil. Shout to Reef, shout to John Schechter, who used to work at The Source, who started his own label called Game Records. And Game Records was almost like a Playboy magazine, because he would always have sexy women on the front, and then on the back would be the artist. The first one that I ever saw Eminem and Royce
Noise when Scary Movie came out. I was doing Mix Show Radio at the time and also doing a lot of Hot 97 work, filling in for Stretch and Bobbito. The Legends, Stretch and Bobbito, got a stamp Legend on there. The first cover had Midori, who was an adult film star that we were fans of, and her sister is the legend icon Jody Watley of Shalimar, and she was a Soul Train dancer. And she's just an incredible producer, model. She's everything. Two different paths, but you know, it's all relative. The adult industry and sports and music is all relative. So we're all united, all right? Just like the States. Now, with the transition of Royce getting ready to go to Sony, we decided to do a single for the streets. He said, I'm gonna do a record where I feel like I'm a bomb. He said, is there any way you could put like a tick in it? And I was like, yeah. And it's crazy because it's one of the biggest records in my whole career. Even when I'm on the road, when I tour, or when I just perform anywhere, when you hear that tick, 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 and that beat drop, the crowd lose their mind. And it's one of the most favorite records that DJs like to cut up because of the ticking. You can do so many routines to it before the beat drops. So it's considered a classic, even though it's not gold or platinum, but in the books, it's considered a classic, and I appreciate that. Appreciate Royce, because Royce's pen's already melted before he even starts to write, but the way he even explained how ill he is in the mind of a bomb, you could visualize every lyric, the whole way he put it together. So when he came over and we sat down to put it together, the first thing that came to my mind was Shout to the Lady of Rage, one of the most incredible female lyricists of Death Row Records and of hip-hop culture, period. Right when he started talking about a bomb, I already heard Afro Puffs with the line when she said, damn. I was like, I hope when I scratch that it fits. Boy, did it fit. And I kept hearing Guru from You Know My Steez when he goes,
the mic's either a magic wand or it gets tragic like the havoc of a nuclear bomb.
Again, DJs, we hear things because of our battle skill mindset when we pull lines that we want to cut. And that's what came to my head without anybody giving me ideas, because I'm good either way. You can give me a scratch idea or I'll come up with it myself. These I came up with myself, all right? So once I laid that down after his vocals was put into place, I was like, yo, man, we are ready to launch this thing. And I remember Jay-Z had a tour, the Hard Knock Life tour. It was Redman and Method Man that opened up for him. DMX was on that tour. Jay-Z was a headliner. Incredible tour. And I remember we're backstage and we're getting ready to go to our cars to leave. And Redman and Method Man are sitting in a car listening to Boom. And I'm like, oh, wow, they're bumping. And it was brand new and they were bumping it. And for them, who are lyricists extraordinaires and also fans of Royce and vice versa, to hear them blast and Boom. I remember it was on the cassette with the artwork and everything. And next thing you know, it was just in everybody's either tape deck, boombox, car, Walkman. Boom was that deal. Now, as we always say, you can't play it until you take this and you load it into the S950 sampler triggered by the MPC-60 drum machine. You get this.
Boom, boom, boom. Tick, tick, tick.
Sounds good, right? Now, there's another thing. Me and Royce talked about this. I wasn't going to mention it, but I'm going to mention it. One thing that led to the success of this record, Boom, is a movie came out when Royce was going over to Sony Records to do his debut album, Rock City. There was a movie called Carmen, a Hip Hopper. The star of the movie was Beyonce. Shout to the queen, Beyonce. And Mekhi Phifer was in it. When they came down to using Boom again, shout to Donnie Einer at Sony, shout to Tommy Mottola. They said to Royce, if we're gonna use it in the movie, since we love the song so much from the original version, we wanna change the hook. Now the original hook is obviously scratched, like I'm known for my scratch hooks. But this one, they wanted a singing slash chorus type hook, be it rapped or sung. Royce can sing very well. He's from Detroit, and you know Detroit people can sing. It's just part of the nature where they come from. Shout out to Motown and Berry Gordy. So with Royce, he wrote a new hook where it said,
boom, somebody better duck or run. Somebody better
watch out, cause he's about to blow up.
Of course, me being the underground raw hip hop guy I am, I was like, no! Just like in the movies when they do that.
No!
But shout to Donny Honor again. He said, look, this version is strictly for the movie. We're not going to push it towards radio or anything else. The original version that's already in the street that's getting his love will be the one that stays how it is just for the movie. And he kept his word, and I appreciate that. And they've always given me a lot of good work over at Sony and Columbia, and I appreciate that. The dope thing about the career of Royce da 5'9" and my own career is Royce and I became a group called Prime. It was Royce's idea because we did a record called Prime, which was one of the first beats I made for him. We were already looking at DJ Premier and Royce 5'9 as artists dropping a project. He called me one day and said, yo, can we be like a group name? And I said, what do you want to call it? He said, Prime. I'm thinking P-R-I-M-E. He said, no. P and the R is capital. The P is for Premier, the R is for Royce, and the H-Y-M-E will be lowercase to embody everything that we represent. I was like, okay, cool. That went on to be a huge success, huge successful tour. We ended up doing Prime 2 plus 3 is getting worked on right now. I ain't going to tell you who the sound source is. You'll find out when you find out. And that's another story. But again, as y'all know, you gotta salute floppy disk, you heard? Boom!
Me and Premier, we kinda the same in ways. We both speak with our hands in dangerous ways. Rap. Boom. I'm the verbal spit, Smith Wesson. I unload with 6-bit, the quick wit, the split a split second. Bomb with a lit wit expression. You hear a tick tick, then you test it. My saliva and spit, the split thread and the fiber and bits. So trust me, I'm as live as it gets. Everybody claimed to the best and they had the throne since Big is gone. If you ask me, they dead wrong. My flow is hotter than the flash from the click. When the hammer slaps the bullet on the ass from the clip. You wind up in a room full of my dogs. I have you feeling like a fire hydrant in a room full of dogs. So come now, get pissed on, shit it on. Tough talk turns, but can't we all just get along? You get blazed when the mic's off, shot when it's on. You probably duck when they laid the gunshot in your song. My gun stutters when it speaks to you. Other shit to repeat to you. Nothing to clip to give a speech to you. Me and Premier, we kinda the same in ways. We both speak with our hands in dangerous ways. Rap now is a circus of clowns. A whole lot of lip from clicks. I probably wrap circles around. I'm the next best to reach a peak, formerly known as the best kept secret. I guess that I just leaked it.
Rickets tragic like the havoc of a nuclear bomb. Ricket's tragic like the havoc of a nuclear bomb.
I'm a motherfucking star, I don't battle no more. I provide the gun clapping round of applause after your show. A week ago, toe to toe, cause they calling you hot. Stepping around all your punches like, that's all you got? Every day I'm meeting somebody and all of they peeps. Quick to shake a nigga's hand and show me all of they teeth. And these bitches, I be patting their asses. They be all dumb and googly eyed looking at me, batting their lashes. Rappers think Detroit niggas not as down as them. A sense that I'm down with Slim, that I sound like him. Quick to judge me and tell me that my hook might sell. And say faggot shit to me like I look like L. My advice, quit talking, it's over. I was knocking niggas out when you was knocking sticks off of their shoulders. I got dirt done in my past, I know y'all sweat. I got regrets older than some of you so-called vets. Niggas say I found God with the flow. Bring the police to the studio and bring the bomb squad to the show. Ain't a nigga touching minds. When you listen to my shit, you don't chew, you don't breathe, you'll miss a fucking line. Every time I spit, I tick to show you it's hot. Leave me in the deck too long, I'll blow up your box. Boom!
Ricket's tragic like the havoc of a nuclear bomb.
Ricket's
tragic like the havoc.
DJ Premier, and I present to you, So What's Up.
Okay, computer. Run it back.
So what's up?
All right. I'm always say all right, because before we go, you got to say all right. All right. This one right here is a very memorable song, and it is tied to a humongous legacy of a studio after I left Such a Sound in Brooklyn, where the first Gangster album was done. Shout to Slomo Sonnenfeld. Firehouse Studios, where the second Gangster album was beginning, partially. Shout to Yoram Vazan. Shout to Calliope Studios, where Step in the Arena album was completed after leaving Firehouse. So two Brooklyn studios, then we went to Manhattan, which was the famous studio, which I spoke on one of my other episodes about all the artists that came out of there, from Jungle Brothers, De La Soul, Queen Latifah, Ultramagnetic MCs, just so many artists. Lord Finesse was working out of D&D Studios and was doing a Return of the Funky Man remix. He told me to come to D&D. Lord Finesse booked a session at D&D. Shout to Eddie Sancho, who was an employee there at the time, who did the session. The magic of what that mix sounded like when I played it in my super sound system of my Mazda MPV at the time. We're going into 1992 to start our Daily Operation album with Gangstar, Rest in Peace to Guru. That's when I now found a place that I called home, from 1992 to 2002. That's where I remained. Started in the A room and transitioned after Dwick was created, went into the B room, and I never left. And they called it the Premier Room. All right? The popularity grew and grew and grew. There was so many artists that were there way before me. Shout to Peter Tosh. Shout to TKA, D-Light, Groovers in the Heart, Big Record, the Fat Boys. All these artists were working out of there way before the DJ Premier era, so to speak.
A few months ago, I had mentioned to one of the owners here at D&D, I said, you know, you guys have so many artists coming through here, you should do a record. We all laughed. Hee hee ha ha.
So as D&D grew, Arista Records gave them a record deal to put out a compilation album. Dave Lotwin and Doug Grammer, who are D&D, said, we're going to do like a posse cut to celebrate the whole D&D legacy. We're gonna throw a party called the 40s and Blunts Party. When they threw that party, he said, we're gonna let everybody know about it. And when we do it, we're only gonna let it into capacity into your room. They served food, they had blunts, they had tons of 40s of malt liquor, and you just party and drink, and we just make a beat on the spot. And when you do it, whoever's there that's ready gets to get on the mic and cut a verse. There was even a race to who can have their rhyme ready. And of course, they said, we're gonna do a video as well. And this is the era where we were all loving to do videos.
D&D is having a little record coming out, and it's like the East Coast blowing up, you know what I'm saying?
The point, though, of the record, once again, is raw, uncut, uncensored, rugged hip-hop. DJ Premier is the producer, rightfully so.
First of all, the song. We gave the title of the group the D&D All-Stars. But the song is called 1-2 Pass It. I'm sure you can get the meaning of that. First one that got there to cut his vocal was Mad Lion. He walked in, he did his verse. The second person was Dougie Fresh. And he came in and did his thing. I remember Doug was like, man, I don't know how I'm gonna nail it with so many great MCs in here, you know, but I'm gonna just do what I'm gonna do. I said, just do it. You're Dougie Fresh. You're one of the most iconic figures and performers, and like they call him, one of the greatest entertainers. So we believe in anything you do. So Doug laid his down. From there, he passed it to KRS-One, who you know is gonna spray it and do whatever he's gonna do, because that's KRS-One. That is the Blast Master. Shout to Boogie Down Productions, aka BDP. Rest in peace to Scott LaRock. I don't really remember how Fat Joe got in there, because we hadn't done Shit Is Real yet, which is gonna be an episode we're gonna have to do here. Somehow Joe was in there on time, and that's how he said, motherfuckers know who's the best. If it ain't Fat Joe, then it must be Lord Finesse.
and he got on it. From there, he passed it to Smith and Wesson. Shout to the Beat Miners, shout to Black Moon, shout to 5FT, shout to Buckshot, shout to Drew Ha, just the entire Duck Down family who made a classic with The Shining. They were there, they put their verse down. Jay Rue the Damager, who was really on fire at the time, and he's our Gangstar Foundation artist, along with Big Sugar and Group Home. He went last to close it out.
Now, here's the kicker. The great,
great icon himself, Jay-Z, shout to Hov, was outside, and he was not let in because Dave told Jay, it's way too many people in here. Like, we can't even move. It's like this. There's no room to move around. It was that rammed in there. He waited for a minute, and he gave it another shot. Still couldn't get in, and Jay left. And look what he's become. But one thing I love about Jay, he let that slide. He still came back and did Reasonable Doubt there. And of course, worked on In My Lifetime Volume 1. We worked on In My Lifetime Volume 2 and 3. So, you know, the history kept continuing, and our love is love. Jay didn't have any hard feelings, you know, and salute to him and everything that he represents. As you know, if you're late to, I say, the party.
This contains the sounds of everything that I do, from the drums to the samples to the bells that ring to everything on these floppy discs, and this is a big chunk of my career
on disc, and they still work. When you put this into the S950, load it up to the pad so you can trigger each sound, this is what you get.
And there you have it. Salute the D&D All-Stars. Salute D&D.
The legacy, unfortunately, they closed in 2002. I reopened it under the name Headquarters. Rest in peace to Headquarters. Head up, eyes and ears open. Word is bond. That's his saying all the time. And we salute him and keep it that way. We moved because the building, of course, with gentrification, they turned it into condos and office space and sold the building. So, with that said, we have now moved on in 2014. All is well. Headquarters Studios is still kicking. And the legacy of D&D will never be forgotten because so many greats came out of there. And again, this is special right here. Salute the floppy disk.
Manipulates the microphone while rhymes like bullets penetrate your zone. We bring more drama than Kevin Costner. No, I'm not Jamaican, but yes, I'm a Rasta. Rasta. Yo, we out.
The 40s and Blunts party. It definitely was that. For those that missed it, stay home.
Yo, you want some of this or what?
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, back that.
Watching MC's land, your career will be as short as my part. And who's the man? God.
rhyme. KRS-One went off of the top of the head bomb. Fat Joe, you know you gotta flow. My man Dougie Fresh down with the work. Okay, KRS, we got the mad MCs up in the D&D. I'm out, G.
One, two.
Yeah. Motherfuckers know who's the best. If it ain't Fat Joe, then it must be Lord Finesse. Think not to show what you got, but don't grab this mic, the shit's too hot. I'm a born killer, nigga from the Bronx. Rappers talk shit, but there's really no punks. Bring it on if you think you can hang. And if not, then let me do my thing. Yeah, so Smith and Wesson, if you're down with me, represent one time on the MIC.
Mr. Ripper, get your gear and prepare for war.
Mr. Yeah. Victor, you ain't gotta tell me no more. Cause what I see on the daily deals with reality. So come follow me on this journey
to Brooklyn, where the crooks dwell and the products overlook. In the form of a street, you know it well.
Bet your ass this grass is greener
than the 20 sack of
Cincinnati.
You know the vibe.
With Smith and Wesson, twist up the tie.
Be some of my people in the field.
Keep my heads in the sky.
We do or die to test your stamina. So any challenger, we pass a motherfucker off to the damage.
Super scientific madness. My status is the baddest. Every time I bless the apparatus, you wish to take me out, so you study. Meanwhile, my clothes, mics, and foes are left bloody, cruddy, filthy from the ground on up. When I plan my attack, I doubt that you're ready. Rain on competition like razor sharp confetti. Kung fu techniques from the perverted monastery. Seafood room manipulates the microphone while rhymes like bullets penetrate your zone. We bring more drama than Kevin Costner. No, I'm not Jamaican, but yes, I'm a Rasta. Rasta. Yo, we out. D&D All-Stars, you know what I'm saying? We about to make like a bad check and bounce, as my man Mr. Davis said. We keep it moving. Peace.
I'm DJ Premier, and I present to you, So What's Up?
Okay, computer. Run it back.
So what's up?
It's a trip because this is another like really good one that turned out to be a good thing all the way across the board. Should I give you the disc first?
Yes, because then I can explain why it has two titles, right?
There's two titles on this disc right here. Yeah, so you haven't seen it yet. I know you haven't seen it yet. I did that on purpose so I could turn it around. And a one, and a two, and a three. Okay, you see two things, Poetic Justice, and you also see A Long Way to Go. This is a Gangstar record right here.
Let me explain how it goes down.
1993,
John Singleton did a movie called Poetic Justice. It was a very, very big draw, even before we even knew what the movie was going to be about, because the super duper duper star and icon Janet Jackson was playing alongside of the late Tupac Shakur. Now,
Gangstar is very
known for doing soundtracks. We did White Man Can't Jump, we did Trespass, we did Mo Better Blues with Wesley Snipes and Denzel Washington, we did 8 Mile with Eminem. We have so many soundtracks that we're on, and Poetic Justice was one, but let me explain the story.
John Singleton personally reached out to us to come to a screening. We were like, is Janet gonna be there?
You know, at that time, who wouldn't be asking that? We're already friends with Tupac, so seeing him and hanging with him all the time was really normal, especially in 93. Tupac came with us to see it, and we were in LA. We've always written our songs based off of what the topic is. And, you know, he played the postal worker who drove the mail truck out of town.
Being that there was no GPS back then, you had to go to the old school map that you unfold into 20 different little pages and you gotta make your little marks and figure out your way to get to your destination. This movie had a big part of that through the entire scenario of what was going on, aside from the love story part. It was the travel and the journey. Shout to Regina King, who is an Emmy and Oscar winner. We're longtime friends. Shout to Nia Long as well. Regina was in the movie also with Joe Torre, the comedian, who did a very good job in the movie as well. It's really based off of a big chunk of the four of them throughout the whole thing. Once we saw this, Guru and I went back to New York and said, let's do a song called A Long Way to Go. Guru titled it, but A Long Way to Go was really appropriate because of the whole journey in the mail truck. Plus, we had heard a couple of the songs that John Singleton let us hear. We got to hear Niggas Don't Give a Fuck by the Dog Pound and Snoop. We got to hear One in a Million by P-Rock and CL Smooth, which was amazing bangers. So even with that, we were like, okay, we fit right in with what we're doing.
Now, the day that we recorded it,
Guru was very, very, very twisted on the good old bubblies. I couldn't get him to get up and get in the booth to do the song. I'm like, dude, we got to do it so we can submit it to John. He's like, yeah, all right, just hit record. If you listen to how he sounds on that record, being that we know him and all the people that know and love Guru and been through episodes with him when he's really good on the liquor, he's really, really delivering the rhyme in a drunken state, but something about it made me go, I like it. Don't change it. It's something about it that I just want to make it stay the way it is.
And we left it the way it is.
And to me, for this very day, because I was there to witness how he was going through that particular situation, it's one of my favorite songs ever of all time. And I'm glad we didn't switch it just to get it better tone-wise. And he did it in one take. We did the song, turned it in.